I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Say, I'm excited today. Amen. Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at verse 13. We looked at this last week. It says, you are the salt of the earth. Who is? You are. We are. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth, therefore, good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Now look at verse 14. You are the light of the world. Who is? We are. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, but put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Say, I am salt and I am light. Now, he said something here about salt. He said, if a salt loses its savor or its flavor, how can it be salted again? You know what happens to salt that lost its flavor? It gets tossed out. You know what happens to a believer that stops producing fruit? They get tossed out. Amen? You can read it in John 15. I don't have time to go there today, but he said, when you cease to become fruitful or productive for the kingdom of God, you are literally cast out and you're burned with fire. But thank God, you're going to maintain your saltiness. Amen? You're going to keep your flavor. Because if you keep tasting of the Lord, you're going to find that He is good. All right? Now, we had got into some examples of people who were salt. They what does salt do? It preserves. It flavors. It brings out the sweetness of things. You know, when you add salt to a corn or to melon, it'll bring out the sweetness. Or if something is a little bland, you can add a little salt to it, and it'll give it the flavor that it needs to taste good to you. How many know that God wants you to be flavorable to this world? Whether you realize it or not, this world is covered with sin. And sin is going to destroy it. But thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ has come. He has come to remove sin from all that believe in Him. He said, whosoever would believe in me would have eternal life. Aren't you glad for that? I'm a whosoever, amen? So are you. And we looked at some examples of people. We talked in depth about Daniel, how the way he lived and the way he did things caused King Darius to make a decree that they were going to worship the God of Daniel in Babylon. Now, that's pretty awesome. How did he get that way? Well, he was thrown into a den of lions. Hungry, ferocious, vicious lions. And he was thrown in, but God preserved him, and his testimony of trusting in God was a preservative to the nation of Babylon. It kept them from being judged. It kept them from being destroyed. And another person I thought of was the king of Nineveh. How many know Jonah was given a message to go to Nineveh, right? What was that message? In 40 days, that city was going to be destroyed. And at first, Jonah was a little reluctant. But after some heavenly persuasion, you know, I don't know if any of us would want to take the first submarine ride that Jonah took in the belly of a great fish. Not the most comfortable place, but anyway. My point is not to talk about Jonah, but he gave the message in Nineveh. What happened? The king of Nineveh heard what Jonah said. And you know what he did? He came off of his throne. He took off his royal robe and he got on his face before God. And he led his city, his nation, into repentance before God. And guess what? The judgment of God was stopped. The king of Nineveh preserved that nation. He was salt. Then there was John the Baptist. You know, sometimes salt can be rough. If you put salt in a wound, what happens? It burns. Well, John the Baptist was like salt in a wound to religion. One pastor said he was like a slap in the face to religion. How can you say that? Go with me to Matthew chapter 3. I want you to see something here. Matthew chapter 3. Look at verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, how'd you like to have that for an advertisement? Come to this meeting so you can be called a bunch of snakes. That would really go over today, wouldn't it? But he said, he's talking to the religious leaders of his day. They were the leaders of Judaism. O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. And you know what another thing that John the Baptist did? He was not afraid to confront political leaders of his day. He was not bound by any hindrance of freedom of speech. How do we know that? Because he addressed Philip, who was king, Herod. He said, it is wrong for you to have your brother's wife. And he was such an irritation to Herod that he wanted to find ways, and he eventually he cut off John the Baptist's head. But what's my point in saying that? He was salt. He was, you've got to be salt. God doesn't have any other salt but you. You are the salt. You are it. Angels aren't the salt. You are. And you are in your sphere of influence, in your world, you are to be salt. You are to be a preservative. You are to add flavor. You are to bring the aroma of God into that place, wherever you are, into your family, your friends, your business. You are to be salt. Salty. Then I think of Joseph. Well, the whole reason he was sent to Egypt was to preserve his nation. He was sent there to save the nation of Israel. Now, he was sent as a slave, but he was salt. How was he salt? He did his best. He was diligent. He had integrity. He had honor. He had a good work ethic. And heathen took notice of how he worked. Potiphar said, he is so good, I'm just going to let him in charge over my house. He was salt. And when temptation arose, you know, sometimes people want to get rid of the salt. You know, they say it might cause heart problems, but the salt of the kingdom of God is good. It's good for the heart. Amen? You can't overdose on God's sodium. Because Joseph, he was tempted to be with Potiphar's wife, and he could have easily been. He had charge of the house. But his philosophy, he says, how can I do this and sin against my God? He took his position of being salt very seriously. And what happened? He was thrown into prison. What happened while he was in prison? He was put in charge of the prison. Once again, the salt, if you're the salt where you are, you will always rise to the top. In bodies of water that are overladen with salt, isn't buoyancy more effective? You can float easier. It doesn't take a lot of effort for you to float, to rise to the top. You know, Dead Sea. You know, when I was in New Zealand, one thing New Zealand has all over the country is these natural hot springs all over the country. And what they do is they build these pools and these bathhouses. They had like this swimming pool. It was like a regular size swimming pool, but the water was hot. And it's full of minerals. And when you get in there and you get out, oh, your skin feels like that of a baby, let me tell you. It is awesome. What does it do? It removes the impurities that's on us. So there was Joseph in prison. He got in charge of the prison. Then he was forgotten. One thing you're going to know about salt, salt doesn't complain, murmur, or grumble about the things that it goes through. You study the people who changed their environment. They didn't do it by complaining, murmuring, and grumbling. Matter of fact, we know how God feels about complaining, murmuring, and grumbling. He sent fiery serpents to the Israelites that complained, murmured, and grumbled when things just weren't quite the way they thought they should be. But anyway, what happened to Joseph? He went from the prison to the palace overnight, and he was instrumental in saving Egypt and the nation of Israel. Without Joseph was a foreigner who became the prime minister. He was a slave who became in charge of all of Egypt's finances. He was the secretary of treasury of Egypt. And not all the deals had to be had to have Joseph's approval, because he had the wisdom of God. And with the wisdom of God, he saved, he preserved, he influenced, he brought flavor to Egypt that didn't have flavor before. The only God-fearing man preserved two nations. Actually, more than that, because every nation had to come to Egypt to buy food, because no one knew what was coming, but Joseph did. Because we're talking about salt the earth and light the world. And a while back in prayer, a couple months ago, I was praying on a Thursday, and the Lord dropped this into my heart, salt. And I wrote it down. Many of you, if you don't know, I'm a writer. I have stacks. I could probably have notes as tall as this pulpit, way back from the early 90s and the 80s even, when I got saved. But anyway, I wrote down the word salt, and then the Lord showed me salvation and love testifying. S-A-L-T. And so what I did was, in one of our Barnabas group meetings, which meet the last Sunday of every month except for this month and next month because of the holidays, and I taught them just briefly about what God put in my heart about salt, about being salt. And then you know what we did? We had, there was 10 of us that went into Palmyra, and we went door to door sharing the gospel for about an hour and a half. Because we were salt. Remember? Where are some of the guys that were there during that time? You want to share any testimony? That's lesson number one about being prepared.
I'll share mine.
Go ahead, Les.
Okay, because when I went there, I wasn't aware that we were going to do that. But well, first of all, I missed the previous Barnabas group, and when I went there, and you said we were going to go door to door and knock, my heart about sank, because that's getting me way out of my comfort zone. I was like, oh, I can't believe he just said we're going to go out and do that. But the first door that we knocked on, me and first thing I said to the pastor, I said, I need you or somebody stronger than myself to go with me. So me and Ed and Pastor were in. We divide up into groups, and we were in the group with me, Ed, me and Pastor. We were one group. The three of us went to the first door. There was a very good reception there. And then I could just feel, you know, tears in my eyes, you know. I could just feel like, wow, this is really, you know, this is really good. I got to see people how Christ sees them. By the last house that we went to, there was an 80-year-old gentleman we visited, and he was basically saying that he believed in God, but the church was full of hypocrites who would go to the bar after church or their VFW or something. And the first thing that the Holy Spirit just took over my speech and said, let me tell you something, Jesus hated those people himself. And I started to just give him the I said, have you ever broken any of the commandments? Have you ever stolen anything? Yes. Have you ever lied? Yes. I said, well, then by your own admission, you said you are a liar and a thief. And I said, how could you be able to stand in front of a holy and righteous God? And now, I would like to say that we led him to Christ. That didn't happen, but I'm sure that seed was planted. But it went from me saying, oh my God, I can't believe Pastor Doug wants me to go. And then almost sucking my thumb like a baby to Holy Spirit boldness, where the Spirit just came over me and I just, just not railed on the guy, but just was just firmly, told him, about Christ. So that's about it.
See, in order to get salt out of the container, you got to shake the container sometimes. So sometimes God needs to shake you out of your comfort zone. Shake you out of your only me mentality, us four and no more. If you want to get your laundry clean, you don't leave the soap in the container, do you? You got to get it out of the container and onto the clothes to affect the stain. And that's what this salt is all about. For 2009, I want you to believe with me. We want to believe for 10. Say 10. 10 new souls a month. I'm not talking about people coming from another church. I'm talking about people getting born again. Now, if how many believe that? You say, I believe with you, Pastor, for 10 souls a month. Okay, now out of that, who's willing to come out with me and share the gospel? Faith without works is dead. You can't say, I believe, Pastor, I'll be behind you. If we're going to see 10 souls, we got to share the gospel with at least 10. And sometimes you got to share with 100 in order to get 10. You go fishing and sometimes you hit a spot and sometimes you don't. But we're going to believe God for 10 souls a month. Now, Mike Randolph and Mike Messick, they're going to be instrumental in putting something together, a plan, where we're going to provide teaching and training to help people share the gospel, to help increase your skills of witnessing. And so they're working on that. What I did with the man was, I said, we're going to do something that's in the Bible. I said, okay, when we came back that night, we kind of debriefed, we kind of shared our testimonies, and I said, okay, I want you guys to pick out two people who you think could head over this area. And so we all kind of did a little vote, and we put their names down, and it came up with Mike and Mike. So that's biblical, amen? So we're going to turn them loose, and so coming up for 2009, you're going to see SALT implemented. And we are going to see at least 120 people by the end of next year give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? I want to see people become disciples. I don't want just converts. I'm not just looking for a notch on my belt, but I want to see people falling in love with Jesus, getting on fire for God, getting filled with the Holy Ghost, and thriving and flourishing in the kingdom of God. Jesus took some fishermen, and he simply used the skills that they had in catching fish. And he said, I'm just going to change it a little bit. Instead of fish, I'm going to make you catchers of men. Amen? So, that's just a little preview. Main feature coming up in 2009. So we see here in this passage that we are both salt and light. What are some things that we know about light from this passage? Number one, it says, a light is meant to shine, not hide. There is no such thing in America as a Christian undercover. Now, maybe in China, that's a different story. Or in places where you can't share the gospel openly, but not in America, there is no such thing as an undercover Christian. Come on out of the covers! Because a light is meant to shine, not hide. A light is to shine to all those around it. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. It's meant to shine for everybody. You are to be a positive influence. You are to impact your world. And the good thing is, God's not asking you to do it on your good looks, on your strength, on your eloquence. Thank God that I don't have to rely on my eloquence to preach. It's the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit when you just reach out to someone and show love to them and show the life of Christ that's in you. That's all you got to do, is be Jesus to someone. God doesn't ask for that. You know, how you live, how you handle your life. You are to let your light shine before men. Say man or mankind. Guess what? You got to get involved with people. Well, Pastor, I thought people are the problem. No, people aren't the problem. Satan is the ultimate problem. People happen to yield to him. Well, people can just as easy yield to God. Amen? So you got to shine your light before men. Good works. Now, let me tell you something. Good works will not save you. No matter how good you think you are, that is not the basis for salvation. Salvation comes by faith. But once you're saved, good works will flow out of you as a natural thing. Good works should flow out of us like sweat flows out of us when we're active in a sport or activity. Amen? And light, our good works should point to the Father. When people see your good works, they should be glorifying God. Just like Darius, he glorified God. When Daniel came out of that lion's den, he was giving glory to God. When the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they stood before the king and they refused to bow, and they were willing to be thrown into the furnace because they knew whose they were and who they put their trust in. They knew their God. They knew that they could face the fiery furnace and not be harmed. And they were thrown in, and the king looked in and he saw a fourth man because they were unwilling to compromise. It was Jesus who was there in the fire. Notice, he was in the fire with them. Where does a light shine the brightest when it's the darkest? You know, if we were to have a light in here, these lights are pretty bright, so if you were to add another light, it wouldn't make much of a difference. But if you go to somewhere where it's dark and you turn on the light, it makes a big difference. You know, some people are like Christmas lights. They only come out at the holidays. They only have a little flicker about them. How bright of a light do you want to be? That's up to you. You can be the brightest light that you can be. Joseph was a light in prison, in a dark place. Paul and Silas, after being beaten and thrown into the dungeon, they were a light. They brought light into the prison when it was utterly dark. They began to praise God, and the light of his presence filled that place. And it brought about a change. That's what I'm talking about. Salt and light bring about a change. I'm not willing to accept status quo. I want to continually be changing and transforming my life and being conformed to the image of God. I don't want the status quo anymore. I want what God wants. And if that means I got to change, then so be it. What kind of light should you reflect? You should reflect the light of Christ. Go with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Look at verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. You know, we're all like a Bic lighter. And Jesus is the one that flicks the Bic. Amen? He's the one who lights your lamp. He's the fire within. He's the oil in your lamp that keeps you burning. But don't let the oil run out. You know, Jesus referred to a group of people that let the oil run out of their lamps. You know what he called them? Foolish. How could you let the oil run out of your lamp? Well, you ever let your car go to E and it doesn't go any further? Well, you didn't take time to fill up. How do you fill up? You fill up in the presence of God, fellowshipping with believers in prayer and worship, in reading the Bible and praying, in practicing the spiritual disciplines. You got to keep yourself full. Say, it's my responsibility to keep myself full. Amen? It is. It's our responsibility. So Jesus, the life was the light of men. Verse 5. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness didn't comprehend it. You ever had a spotlight shine on you? And it's so bright that you can't see anything else. You're like, what is that? What is that light? You know, when you wake up in the morning, if you go to Guyana, it's like noonday here at 5 a.m. there. I mean, at 5 a.m., it is bright, bright, bright. And you wake up, you're thinking you slept in, and you look at the watch, and it's 5 a.m. You're like, holy cow. But it does. It gets that bright there early. But see, when the light, not everybody's going to understand the light. Jesus was the light of this world, and there were many people who missed why he came. They missed his purpose. They didn't understand. The darkness did not comprehend it, did not understand it, didn't accept it. But Jesus is the light of the world. Isaiah said, you will see a great light. There is no other light as brighter than Jesus. And we should all be like the moon. We should reflect the light of the sun. Amen? God gives you the light. Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's the one that shined in our hearts. Now we got to take that light that's in us and simply reflect it. You know, when the light hits a reflector, that's when that reflector brightens. So when the light of God's glory hits you, I remember one time in Illinois, I was, you know how sometimes when you first get born again, you're a lot more zealous than after having been born again several years. Sometimes we need to get back to our zeal. Amen. In other words, we got to stoke up the fire. You've let the fire run cold, and it's just burning some embers. If you blow on it, if you let the wind of God blow on that fire, it'll increase, amen, and it'll produce more heat. Well, anyway, I was praying, and I've been praying for a long time, and then I was meeting some friends, and we met at this place. It was outside, and this person just kept looking at me. I'm like, what are you looking at? She says, you're glowing. Well, how'd that happen? Because I was just in the presence of the Lord. Remember when Moses, when he was called up on Mount Sinai for 40 days, and he ate heavenly manna? I believe he was taken up into heaven. I believe that he saw the pattern of the true tabernacle so that he could lead people in building the earthly tabernacle. What happened when he came down that mountain? People said, Moses, put a veil on your face. Man, you're bright, you're shining. See, when you get in God's presence and when you let his presence get in you, you will shine. I think if we just fall in love with Jesus, things would go a lot easier. Just fall in love with Jesus. What do you do when you love someone? You go after them, you communicate, you talk with. Sometimes love will even make you act stupid. Come on now. Men, remember when you were dating? Yeah, you acted stupid. I did too. Because I was in love. But let me tell you something. Just naturally, I'm more in love with Fiona now than I was 11 years ago. So, the light. This is what the Wycliffe commentary says. Believers function positively to illuminate a world in darkness, because they possess Christ, who is the light. It should also be displayed in our individual private relationships, similar to like a candle on a lampstand. Now, how many take a flashlight when the power goes out and you put your hand over the lens and try to find your way around? No, you want to expose the light. You don't want to hide it. Oh, I don't want anybody to see me worshiping the Lord. I'm going to worship. Worship. Sometimes, why are we embarrassed to lift our hands? Jesus said, look up. That's where your help comes from. You know why I worship, why I lift my hands in worship? Because I'm free. When I was in sin, I was in bondage, and I couldn't lift my hands. But because Jesus Christ is in my heart, I lift my hands. It's a pleasure. It's like I'm reaching out. Don't know how I got on that, but. So Jesus is the great light. Go to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Look at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Notice, when you're in the light, you don't fear and you're not afraid. Because the light acts as a protection. You know, and Psalm 119, 130, you don't have to turn there, but we say it in our confession. The entrance of his word gives light. It illumines. It makes things brighter. It gives knowledge. All right? Jesus talked about people. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Oh, before you get to Ephesians, stop at Psalm 84 for a minute. Psalm 84, 11. Look at this. I love this verse. For the Lord God is a sun. Say a sun. And a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. When you're walking in the Lord, when you're walking in righteousness, what does that mean? It means to practice what God says. If it says it in his word, I believe it, and then you begin to carry it out in your life. The Lord God is a sun and shield. And he gives grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold to them that walk uprightly. When you walk uprightly, you're walking in the light, and God is not going to hold things from you. He's not going to keep things from you. He's going to give you things. He's going to show you things. He's going to manifest himself to you. He is a good God. No good thing will he withhold from you. But you've got to walk in the light. You've got to be a child of the light. He is the light, and the light's in you, so now act like it. Come out of darkness. They've come out of darkness and seen a great light. Thank God we've come out of darkness. He transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You know, it's a lot harder to get around in darkness than it is when the light's on. How many has ever woken up in the middle of the night to get something to eat or do something else and you didn't turn the light on and you end up paying for it? Ow! Ow! I stubbed my toe. Well, if we'd have just turned the light on. See, sometimes we're walking in darkness and we stumble and we wonder, God. God says, look, I'm the light. Just turn me on. The light is at your disposal. And let me tell you, whether you use a Duracell or an Energizer, God's power doesn't run out. There's no expiration date on God's power. It's always available for you to turn it on. How do you turn it on? You turn it on by faith. You do what it says. stand up and walk. Many times Jesus would say to a lame person, arise and walk. They had never walked before, but it was based on what he said. They did what he said, and the power came in. That's what brings the light, faith. Got to keep the faith turned on. Amen? Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5 now. Are you getting hungry yet? If you see your neighbor drooling, just kind of wipe it off. I didn't know how successful it would be preaching with all this aroma in here, but yeah, it does. I'm going to keep you expecting. I'm going to make sure you're good and hungry. You done yet? No, you got to be good and hungry. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Notice this. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. What does that mean? For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So we know that the fruit of the Spirit, practicing love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, patience, gentleness, and meekness, faithfulness, against such there is no law or measure. When you practice those fruits, when you allow that fruit, it's fruit singular, but it's nine things of the same fruit because it's the Holy Spirit. When you allow the Holy Spirit and you know, the Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. So God gives you his love. Now what you do with his love that he gave you is you act as if you love the person even though you don't. You take that love that's been given to you and you would do what love would do in spite of what you feel or what they did to you in the past. Oh yeah. There's been many times I've had to act what love, you know? You see someone you didn't expect to see and, hi, how you doing? How's it going? Now, your feelings might disagree with that, but you don't go by your feelings. You go by what the Word says. See, when you go by what the Word says, you can override your feelings. It's like the difference between taking a drive to California or a flight to California. You know? You can drive 3,000 miles or whatever. It's going to take you a lot longer, but if you just get in the plane and fly, see, flying is like doing what the Holy, you know, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you. It gets you there quicker. Amen? So we were in darkness, but now we're in the light. So that means we have to change our behavior. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Say unfruitful. If you're involved in something that's not producing fruit for the kingdom, get out. You know, when some people come into the knowledge of the Lord, when they get filled with the Holy Ghost, staying in a dead church doesn't work. Because the Bible says, don't fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Okay? For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. So we know that the light exposes things. See, some people don't want the light to shine in all the parts of their life because it might expose something that we don't want exposed. But when the light comes in, the whole room gets filled with light. Let the light expose some things. See, in darkness you can hide. That's why the enemy, he operates in darkness because he can hide. He's a deceiver. All right? Verse 14. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So we know that light is available for the believer. You can rise and Christ will give you light. How many know that when Lazarus was risen from the dead, he came into the light, didn't he? The tomb was dark. Death is darkness. But the light is life. The light is the life of Christ. You allow his life to take over your life. In him you live and move and have your being. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. What does that mean? Wisely. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Darkness is evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The original Greek says, be being filled. You know, the same group that got filled on the day of Pentecost got filled in Acts chapter 4. Same group. They got filled again. Why? See, when you use what you have, then you got to get filled again. Amen? This is how we walk in the light. Walking in the light is keeping your tank full, keeping the Lord's presence active in you. It's like yeast. Yeast is only active for a certain amount of time, right? And you got to, there's things that you can do to keep it active. You got to keep it active in you. The light. Now, the more light you have, the more bugs you have. Because bugs are attracted to the light. But if they get too close, they get zapped. Amen? We need to be Christian bug zappers. Just zap them when they get too close. Amen? So the light. 1 John 1:5 says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness. Say, no darkness. You know, when he comes again in heaven, they don't have an electric bill. They don't use environmentally safe bulbs. Well, how does heaven provide the light? The Lamb of God provides the light. It's the light of his glory. You know, when Adam and Eve were first created, they didn't have any clothes, but they weren't naked because they were covered with the glory of God. They walked with God's glory on them. They had a tailor-made suit from God. It was his presence. It was his light. It was on them. Well, didn't Ephesians tell us to put on the new man, which is created in Christ Jesus? It's pure and holy. The new man's already been created according to Christ. Now, let me give you some opposites, all right? Darkness is blindness, but light illumines. You can look at 2 Corinthians 4. You don't have to turn there. But it said, the God of this world, who blinds the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. So when you've got relatives and friends that are blind, you know what you need to pray? Pray that their eyes be opened. Because they're blinded. The light is prevented from getting to them. They can't see. You know what Jesus said of the Pharisees? He said, you are blind leaders, the blind leading the blind, and you both end up in a ditch. So darkness is blindness, but light illumines. Darkness is ignorance, but light is knowledge. He'll give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. It's true. The cartoons describe it. When someone gets a good idea, what do they have? A light bulb. Did you know that God is the most creative person, so all good ideas come from him? The devil couldn't create anything to get himself out of a paper bag. He's not a creator. He's a perverter. He can only twist what has already been created. If he could create, but he can't, because he keeps doing the same thing over and over and over again. He's insane, trying to get different results, doing the same thing over and over again. The devil is a crazy naked man running loose in the spirit. Darkness is heavy, but light is easy. People say, oh, it's hard to be a Christian. Oh, it's so hard. Oh, I don't know if I can make it. Really? Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What are you talking about? The reason it's hard is because you're trying to do it according to your own works. your own strength. It's going to be hard if you try to do it on your own. You can take the stairs to the penthouse, or you can take the elevator. It's up to you. You'll get there on your own effort by the stairs, but you'll be tired, you'll be wore out, it'll be a lot harder, or you can just press the button in the elevator and it'll take you up. You choose. Darkness is hard, but light is easy. Why do you think Jesus wants everybody to come? The light is a lot more fun than darkness. Oh yeah, darkness is fun for a season, but then you gotta pay. I have never seen a beer commercial showing someone gripping the porcelain throne and yawning in Technicolor. But yet, isn't that a reality? How do you know? Well, in my younger days, I was known to overdo alcohol sometimes. I know what it's like when you lay in bed and your bed starts spinning. It's not fun. Sin is fun for a season, yeah, but there's a short season. And eventually, and then you're going to pay, and you're going to be like, well, I don't have anything to pay. Yeah, because sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll cost you more than what you wanted to spend. It'll cause you to do what you never wanted to do. Sin will do. Darkness hinders progress, but light shows you the path. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. It'll show you the way. You can navigate rough waters by letting the light guide you. You can go through storms by allowing the sun to guide you. The word is a lamp unto my feet. See, when your feet are lighted, you know that it'll help you avoid stepping into danger. It'll help you avoid stepping off the edge. I remember one time in New Zealand, I stepped off the edge of a path and I fell into the river, and that river took me downstream. And it was everything within me just to swim to shore because the current was so strong. I was by myself. Me and this other guy, we decided to split up, and you take this side of the mountain, I'll take this side. Well, he had been back to, I was still out in the New Zealand bush, and I looked this way, I looked this way, I looked this way, I looked this way. It looked all the same. I mean, it was just bush everywhere. But you know what I started to do? I said, I'm going to follow the river. And I began to sing songs that I learned in my younger days. I began to praise the Lord. I made it back to camp at 9:30 at night. I could have been lost in the middle of the New Zealand nowhere. We were on a 3-day rafting trip. But it was the light that I had learned as a child. When I began to praise God, His light somehow brought me back to where I needed to be. Amen. If you've been away from the Lord, if you've been departed from God's purpose for your life, you can come back. Just follow the light. The prodigal son got tired of looking at the muddy pigs, and he said, I'm going to come to the light. And he came home. Amen. Darkness covers, light exposes. Proverbs chapter 4. Just want to go there. Verse 18. It says, the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. The more you go in God, the brighter your light ought to be. Your light shouldn't diminish in glory. It should increase in glory. The light of the just is as the noonday gets brighter and brighter. Hallelujah. That's progress, isn't it? Darkness is Satan's kingdom. Light is God's kingdom. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I'm almost done. How do you know you're done, Pastor? Because my stomach's starting to growl. Just kidding. No, really, it is growling now. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, this is a prayer too, which has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, or the kingdom of light. Hallelujah, because He is the light of the world, amen? And then finally, darkness is death, but light is life. He is the light, and in him was the life was the light of men. So, you choose today. You want to be in darkness? Go ahead. But you know, just as easy as it is to turn on the light, you know, a funny story, when I became pastor of this church, we met some people at a restaurant, and they gave me a folder, and they gave me some instructions, but I forgot where they said the light switch was for the sanctuary. So I came here, and I'm looking everywhere. It must have been for, what, an hour? Looking for the light switch. And come to find out, there's one light switch for this sanctuary, and it's in that room over there behind the door. And one time, one of the kids got to that switch and turned the lights off in the middle of service. And they take about 15 minutes to come back on. But you know what? See, I was in darkness. I was wandering around. I couldn't find my way. But just as easy as it was for me to flip that switch, it's just as easy for you to make an adjustment in your heart and to start adjusting yourself for the light. You need to clean off the lenses. You know, the eyes are the windows to your heart, the Bible says. And when people cry, I just say, is God doing some window cleaning? But all it takes is a little adjustment to come on over into the light. You feel like you're burdened down and you're heavy? Come into the light. Jesus will lighten your load. He said, all those who labor and are heavy laden with burden, he said, come to me and I will give you rest. Well, how hard is it to come to him? How hard is it to turn your life over to him? How hard is it to surrender? Your flesh will try to say, oh, it's hard. You know what you need to say? Shut up, flesh. Don't let your flesh keep you from the blessing of God. You let your spirit rule you. So, you are the light of the world. Think about that for just a moment. Close your eyes for just a moment. Everybody, close your eyes. And say, I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. And think about what kind of responsibility God gives you for that call. And ask yourself this with your eyes closed. Have I been a light? Am I a light? Am I walking in the light? And you know, your heart knows the answer. And if you're here today and you want to just lighten your load, you can come and receive the glory of God today. You can come and be in the light. As he is in the light, walk as children of the light. It's possible, or otherwise he wouldn't have said it. Let the Holy Spirit teach you in things that we've got to change. And then be willing to make the changes. Jesus said, Isaiah said, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. So if you're here today and you need prayer, God's light is here. And his light is ready to touch you because he loves you. And one touch from the light can do amazing things. Amen? So if you need prayer, I'd just like to give you an opportunity to pray with you. Maybe if you haven't been walking in the light, well, today's your day. Make a decision that you're going to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Is there anybody here that you wouldn't be able to confidently answer Jesus when he said, if you were to stand before me, and I was to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? If you don't know the answer to that question, you can know today. Amen? Anybody need prayer? All right, say this with me. Say, today, I'm going to walk in the light as he is in the light. His light is in me, and I'm going to keep my lamp burning. For the Lord, In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.